This meeting is now being recorded.
So thank you for joining the Latin Generation panel call on 23rd of February 2017. We have Mirjana, Bill, Dennis, Mats, Michael, Sarmad on the call. Is there anybody else on the call? Okay, so over to you, Mirjana, and I'll share the document.
Okay. So welcome to the call. Thank you very much for joining the call. I've sent the agenda for today's call, which has only one point for discussion, that is the proposal, but I also want to add something to that agenda. It popped up in yesterday that I have finished the presentation for ICANN 58, and I want to discuss it with you if there will be enough time at the end of the call. And also we have to see when our next meeting will be, because in 2 weeks some of us will go to Copenhagen for the ICANN meeting, so maybe the next call we can postpone after the ICANN meeting or something like this, but we can discuss it later. Okay. Sarmad, shall I try to share our document, although I've never done it before?
Hello, this is Mikhail at Disconnected.
It's thank you, Mikhail. It's coming on screen, so I converted that into a PDF document. I think that's easier.
Okay. I asked everyone to comment to the document, and most of the Mekal suggestions and comment I have resolved, although it was left a few of them which I was not sure what to do with it. So we might discuss it now, and I'll try in the next few days to finish the proposal and ask Sarmad to look through it again, and we can send it to integration panel for further processing. I don't think we can find, because you put up the PDF, we don't have comments. No?
So would you want me to share the actual document?
Yeah, it would be good if you can share it, because all the comments are there.
Sure. Okay, so that's available now.
Okay, it's available now. Yes, it is.
But you will then need to tell me when to scroll. Because
scroll,
I may not be able
to scroll
through. Okay.
I think we are on the first comment, Bill Juris. Or maybe I pronounced your family name in the wrong way.
very close, actually.
Very close, sorry. What is the right pronunciation of your family name?
What we normally use is Juris.
Juris, okay. My Serbian pronunciation.
Amazingly close, actually.
It is close. It was close, okay. There is one comment. I think this is the first comment from the beginning. Since per page 4, only lowercase letters are allowed on IDNs, wouldn't it make sense to list those here? I have not a special special thoughts about it, because something is going on the screen. Okay.
Sorry about that. It's back.
It's back. I don't know. We are trying to, let's say, describe our the scope of our work somehow. And I must admit, this sentence was left from some other previous versions of the proposal, so I don't have the special opinion about it. For me, it is okay to use uppercase or lowercase. It's almost the same before all the letters during the are converted to the lowercase, and like that they are used on the internet. But I'm a technical person. Maybe someone has some better explanation about it. Mats, you're saying...
What am I... Yes, my immediate reaction is, well, if we present something, I think the capital letters are fine. But what is basic set then? This looks like being the ASCII letters A to Z. Is that what it means? I mean, basic, is that really well defined? The Romans didn't make a distinction between U and V. So, what is basic then?
I think this sentence tried to explain just ASCII set of the Latin script, and I think those letters are included in the Latin basic, Latin Unicode. Well, we can check it, but. As much as I can remember,
yeah.
Those are basic Latin sets.
So, yeah. So then maybe the current basic set for domain names taken from the ASCII set is, and then list the letters. And in that sense, for domain names, lowercase or uppercase are equal.
Yeah, that's it. In domain names, uppercase doesn't exist at all. Whatever you write, it is normalized and written in lowercase letters.
No, not for traditional domain names. Uppercase and lowercase is just equal, and in DNS, case is preserved, should be preserved.
In DNS? It's something completely new for me.
Well, perhaps we should look down on the bottom of page 4 and see if maybe that's the place we want to make a change.
Page 4?
Yeah, see that last sentence?
Will you read it, please?
Here, only lowercase letters are considered, as uppercase ones may not be used in IDNs.
Is it wrong?
No, that is correct.
So I think, this is Sarmad, what Bill is trying to say is that here we are saying that lowercase letters are considered, but on page 2 we are listing the uppercase letters, and so there's a disconnect between this sentence and that particular presentation.
Yes.
What is in the chat room, Michael said, but there was, here we are discussing the historical situation in the introduction. So, I'm now confused. What to do? Shall we change in the introduction? Shall we put only lowercase letters, or leave it as it is? I need some kind of proposal. I cannot make a decision by myself. Sorry.
This is Michael. I would like to comment.
Please, Michael. I don't see your hand up. Please.
No, I don't know how to raise the hand. Sorry. On page 2, we are discussing the historical situation and how the current set came about. So I think we should leave it as this because that's the correct characterization of the historical situation. What we do need is maybe some tuning of the wording on page 4 so that readers can actually make the connection. So we should just change the wording in this part to clarify that, okay, there may have been a basic set a couple of hundred years ago where there were only capital letters, but currently there are capital and small letters, and in IDN context, only small letters are permitted, something like that. But I think in between we talk about the difference between lower and uppercase letters, which has evolved since. So I think we should leave page 2 as it is, and make changes to page 4 and something which comes in between just to enable the reader to better understand. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Any other comments? Matt, please. Your hand is up.
Yeah, I think we should focus on IDN, and I think we should not engage too much in the historical aspect of the Roman alphabet. So what is presented is the ASCII characters, but the text is about the historical aspects of the Roman alphabet. And so I'm not sure what is the best, but we should try not to focus too much on that part, I think. If it's less confusing to have a lowercase letter, I think we should have that.
Thank you, Matt. Any other opinion?
Yes, I can say something to that. This is Michael again.
Yes, please, Michael.
Hey, so Matt, I think that having a correct linguistic description of the historical situation of how Latin script came about would be important for our analysis when it comes to things like variants, because, and also cross script variants, because there is a reason why scripts are related, and there is a reason why letter shapes may look similar or not. So I think it's useful to explain these things very briefly, to clarify that as a generation panel, we are aware of such facts for, which basically have an impact on today's situation. Yeah, that's kind of it. Thanks.
I have no clue how to finish this discussion, but please, Michael, will you be so kind to suggest in your way, because you are a linguist by vocation, I say. I'm just an electrical engineer and trying to do my best. Will you try to make this clarification on the page 4? Is it possible for you?
Yes, of course.
Thank you. Matt, your hand is up again. Matt, please.
Yeah, I mean, if we look at it historically, I mean, there's been, over history, there's been a creation of letters. I mean, U and V were not different letters from the beginning, and W is also a later creation. So I don't think that we should dig into such things. So we shouldn't try to give a complete historical description of the Romans alphabet. or the Latin script. What is interesting is the current situation. I don't say that the history is uninteresting, but that is not important for our work. It can explain things, but it's not important for confusion or possible confusion.
And what is your proposal? Sorry, Max. Do you have any proposal?
Well, my proposal is keep it simple. Don't make the historical description too complex. And if it's less confusing to have the lowercase letters there, have that. Even though the lowercase letters historically came later than the uppercase letters.
I have a suggestion. Let's try to see what Michael will write on the page 4. And after that, we can discuss it via email. I think we can confront the opinions and see what is the best for the panel, because this historical introduction is something which is introduced in every panel, and it should be somehow a basic scoop of letters should be somewhere presented, even if it's historically, and if we get satisfactory clarification by Michael here, by Michael here, I think we can leave uppercase over there, or if the panel agrees, we can change it to the lowercase, although it they historically was developed later than uppercase version of the letters. Any other ideas? I'm trying to find some kind of solution. Yes, perhaps Bill is saying something. Perhaps mention on page 2 the Unicode range of the basic Latin. It will solve somehow the confusion, or not. Sorry. Max, please, again, I'm sorry, I caught the flu yesterday, so I'm sneezing. Max, please.
Well, I'm sorry. Yes.
Yes, yes.
I'm sorry that you caught the flu. Well, I think that this set there could be left out because it doesn't add anything to the historic description. The historic description explains something about what letters were old, etc. What I think we should have is something between the historic description and 1.1, something that talks about ASCII and traditional domain names, and their list, and there we should list the letters that can be used in traditional domain names, because that gives a good background for the next step of the extension to IDM. So I think we need a section there in between.
You mean that we can add something, that we drop this sentence over there, and with the uppercase letters in the introduction, and put somewhere a few sentences about the history of Latin usage in usage of Latin script in creating IDN in creating domain name labels. Was I correct?
Yes. Yes. A new 1.1. I mean, before 1.1. Yes.
Yeah.
A section. The use of Latin script in traditional domain names could be a headline. And then describe that these are the letters that you find in ASCII and traditional domain names are based on ASCII. And in such domain names, uppercase and lowercase letters are treated equal. And it's a short section, because that gives a good background for the next step when we talk about the extension.
Okay, will you be so kind to edit by yourself, please?
Because yes.
Everybody can edit this text. You all have grants to edit this text, and when you put your sentences over there, and please delete the sentence in the introduction, we shall see is everybody happy with it.
Yes, okay? I will do that.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much. Let's go to the next comment. This is I think this is the section about the diacritics, which is a little bit difficult for me to cope with it, but I hope we together will find the right solution. There are some discussion by Michael here, which I, with this stroke over L or something like this, and I tried to something the stroke as the, in the diacritical points, and there is again some discussion Michael put in, which is not quite clear to me because, you know, my background. So we have two solutions. Either we shall accept it like this, because all this text is somehow inherited from previous texts, I suppose, so I'm not clever enough to write the text like this, or shall we drop it out? Michael, do you want to say something?
Yes, I can, Mariana.
Yes, please.
Yeah. And so some of these notes are reminders to myself sometimes when I'm writing something. So, for example, in this particular case, I think the original draft had something by Chris about diacritics. So I was trying to, when I read it, I noticed that it was a bit skewed, as in, not very systematic, so I tried to make it more systematic and discuss the different types of diacritics and what purposes they serve in language. And for example, one type I was trying to discuss was a diacritic where it is basically Unicode conceptualizes the diacritic as a combining mark. But the orthography of a language conceptualizes this as a letter by itself, because Chris was speaking about such things in the original application. So the difference is just if you have, like, for example, if L with a combining stroke is a letter by itself next to L, or if it is a variation of L. So, for example, French considers an A, I think, with a accent, a variation of an A. And this has influence, for example, on the way things are sorted in dictionaries. So I was trying to explain this difference, but it was difficult finding an example. So I was just trying to verify with the group if there is a combining stroke in Unicode, because then there should be canonical equivalence between L plus combining stroke, as well as this L, which already has a combining stroke. In that case, in that situation, this would be a good example. Otherwise, we would need a different example, and maybe someone can think of an example off the top of their head, because I was looking around and had trouble finding a good one. Does this help in any way? Is this clear?
Make confusion worse, but I don't mind. Someone will understand. For me, this is the sentences like this are clear. And all your discussion just confused me a little bit. But if those are only some remarks for you to think about it, my proposition is to leave it like this and see what the integration panel will say. If they don't like it, we shall remove it and go on. Because all those discussions you have started now should be done later when we start to make rules, what are variants, what are not variants, what should be included, what should be excluded, and so on. Am I right?
Yes, but I think some of it should be in the final generation rules. But I think we should also explain that we are aware of such facts in this particular proposal. At least this is what we did, I think, in the case of Arabic script, and I assume the same should also have taken place in the other proposals, although I didn't read all of them. And what I mean, for example, Mirjana, is like, I know, like, I think, like, in Cyrillic, you have you have what you call END kratko. So it's the same idea. So if the small thing on the E is a modifier, and therefore, or if it is a separate letter.
That's the problem of the Cyrillic usage of the Cyrillic script. I only can use it in Serbian, and we don't have a special diacritics, because every letter has one voice and it is very simple to use. Maybe some other languages using Cyrillic scripts has the use of are using diacritics, but I speak only Serbian, not Russian, not Bulgarian, not Ukrainian, and not the other languages using Latin script. So that's my problem to understand it, but I think the whole panel is qualified enough. I will leave this like that, like you have said here, because it seems to me pretty clear, at least to an engineer mind, it is clear like this, and we leave the discussion about everything for the next step.
Sarmad, I think Matt.
Sarmad, yes, please. Oh, sorry, Matt, please.
Matt, I'm not sure what you mean. I mean, I wrote in the chat. I mean, an E with a accent a G in Swedish. Is it just a variant of E? Is that what you mean? It's not considered to be a distinct letter.
Yes, but in Navajo it's the opposite. In Navajo, L with a combining stroke is a separate letter. So I was looking for an example of that situation. And the only one I could find was Navajo.
What do you mean? So this is a distinct letter in Swedish. It's not a variant of A. Is that an example that you want?
Does it have a separate entry in the dictionary?
It has a separate entry in the dictionary, yes. So the Swedish alphabet ends with, these are the last letters of the Swedish alphabet.
The problem is that there is a certain lack of consistency. In some languages, the diacritics are just variations. In other languages, what looks like a diacritic is actually a different letter.
Yeah, but if you want an example where it's treated as a different letter, Swedish could be an example. Is that what you are looking for, Mako?
Michael, please.
Yes, I'm reading the paragraph. I think that's what I was looking for on this particular part. I'm reading it myself now. Yes, it should be a separate letter which represents a separate sound, precisely. Which is non-optional.
It's a separate grapheme in Swedish. I mean, representing a distinct phoneme in Swedish. Both of them, both the three last ones.
And it is not possible to drop it, for example, in writing. So if you replace Swedish E with an accent aigu, it would become a spelling mistake and it would become unintelligible or create confusion. Is that a correct description of the situation?
Well, in the case of E, it's just a variant. When it's the situation of the three letters, the last three last letters I just wrote, it's a different words.
So it's actually in
Swedish
mixed model.
Yeah.
You're saying where there are certain letters where diacritics are added on for variation, but then there are certain letters which have diacritics more, I guess, inherently infused with the letter to create actually different letters.
Precisely.
Yeah. So this is the situation in Swedish.
I could work. I have to read it up and see if that's the same idea. Because you have similar situation also, for example, in Italian, as I was trying to explain, where actually it represents a different sound and it makes a difference and it would be considered a spelling mistake, but still people leave it out in some contexts because they still consider it a variant of another grapheme or a variant of another letter. And in Navajo, this
yeah.
is not the case.
So, okay, so it, when it comes to, I mean, you see what I'm written in the chat.
Yeah.
You see the written in the chat. So A and A umlaut are totally different letters in Swedish. Different entries in the alphabet and in the dictionary.
Are there minimal pairs in between A and A?
Yes, many. I could find many.
This is Sarmad. An interesting question would be, though probably not totally relevant at this stage of the work, whether, for example, the first one, how, if that's, if somebody registers it as a domain name under ASCII, could they register the second version as to represent the first version? Or that would just not be possible.
Yes, people do that because it hasn't been possible to use the umlaut and the A ring letters in domain name. So people have removed the diacritics, so to say, and the same thing on airplane tickets. So either you have done removing the diacritics or transliterated. So a common transliteration is this one.
Well, in Navajo, there is no way to transliterate it.
But you don't use that in Swedish writing. I mean, that is only when you don't have the possibilities on computers to create the correct letters. So you never see it in the written text unless it's a domain name or an airplane ticket.
Yeah, we have the same in German.
In German, the O umlaut is considered to be a variant of O, but that is not the case in Swedish. It's considered to be a separate letter on its own.
So it's a good example. Thanks. I will note things down. I have to think about the paragraph again to see if it's a good replacement. I still find the Navajo example is stronger, but I'm still not sure if it is eligible, because it only works if there's canonical equivalence in between combining stroke plus L as well as the L including the combining stroke. I would have to look up the code points.
Do you want? Yeah. Well, in the Swedish case, it's canonical equivalence with
yeah,
the O plus umlaut. Yeah.
I know. Thanks, Mats.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everyone. So, does it mean that Michael will reread this paragraph and try to make it more clear or better than it is now?
Michael will try.
Michael? Okay, thank you very much. So we shall proceed now. What we have else? What else we have? All this discussion was concerning this part of the diacritics. Now we have some comments about countries with significant user communities using Latin script. I've tried to do something here. Michael had some proposals, but I didn't have enough time to implement all of them. Although it is a little bit difficult to find all the data which are you proposing to find, for example, numerical figures such as number of languages. We are dealing with some 455 languages or something like this that I could find on the Omniglot site, although it is just a part of languages using Latin script. So I don't think it is easy to find the right figures. We can somehow list the continents on which the Latin script is used. You, Michael, had something against this map, but I found the map in every proposal, so I think our proposal should also have some kind of map, and that's the best one I could find. So maybe also Sarmat has one note here in this description of the map. It was somewhere opinion is, I think I pronounce it properly, the Chinese transcription in Latin language was mentioned, and my intention is not to say that we should consider opinion in our future work. It was just an example how large the Latin use, how in every country of the world Latin language is used, but we can discuss it, and now some ideas are necessary, I suppose, and to look to make this topic better. Okay, any ideas, any suggestions, please? Shall I see any? I don't see any hands up. Does anyone know the right source when the numbers could be found about usage of the anything in linguistics? Because it was very difficult. The best place I found was Omniglot, and all the other things are more detailed, and we don't have, at least I don't have the tools to dig all the necessary data from such databases which are everywhere in the internet.
This is Matt speaking.
Matt.
I raised my hand. And
yes,
I think we could have data which is not fully complete or fully correct, as long as we just make a comment that one could discuss if China should be marked as partially green, and so this should not be used as a source or anything, just as an illustration of giving a picture of where Latin script is used and that it's well spread over the world. Something like that.
Yeah, or I can drop opinion explicitly here from the comment, and everything will be less complicated, and nobody will think that we should consider opinion in our future work, or because it is used for transliteration, as I understood.
Yeah, but I think that in Chinese, pinyin is more than just transliteration, because it's used there. I mean,
really? I don't know really.
Yeah, but they use it for domain names.
They use it in domain names. And all kinds of applications.
I see.
And all kinds of devices.
Oh, I see.
Sorry for interrupting.
Sorry. It's okay. So we could discuss this topic during our face-to-face meeting, because I put this as one of the points that could be discussed during face-to-face meeting in Copenhagen. Although I have a problem to find any kind of numbers, how many languages is using Latin script, especially the distribution of those languages over the continents, and that was the Meikalt's proposal, as I understood. Does anyone know where such kind of data could be found? I've tried to look at some statistical databases, but they are not very user-friendly for you. User-friendly, yeah. Or we shall drop it and just specify script source ethnology. Yes, but our working table was derived using Omniglot at Ethnologue websites. And I can calculate only what I have in this table. Everything else is very... It's just the rough estimation. Nothing else. Or I can say, I can find how many languages are used in language according to the table we produced before 2 years. Should it be enough for illustration?
Mariana, may
yes,
I comment?
Comment? Yes, please.
Yes, the concept of language, like the meaning like English, Swedish, etc., it's quite complex. I mean, it's no objective way of defining if two things are different languages or if they are different dialects or variants or something. And the smaller the entities are, the harder it is to make such distinctions. I don't think that we should dig into that because that is not the main focus of our work. Our work is not to try to calculate the number of languages. A rough figure is enough. And just write something that this is a rough figure that we got from that and that source. And it should not be considered to be some true description of the number of languages.
Because it is very easy to make a table of how many languages, according to this table which we produced before 2 years, are using Latin script. And I put it in the document, and you could comment it after that. Okay. Rough figure about languages using Latin script.
Michael, I would like to say something.
Please, Michael. Sorry, I didn't see your hand. Sorry. Please, say.
No, that's okay. I didn't raise the hand. I still don't know how to do it. Sorry. Regarding Matt's comment, I agree with Matt that it's not our job to start defining the number of languages or stuff like that. The question is only which way we prefer to go. So either we try to give a very high-level summary of things and say, this is the high level. We don't know at the lower level how things are precisely. Or we have more in-detail data, as we cited here, but then we have to scrutinize it a lot. So we have to say, okay, so for example, Wikipedia gives this presentation, but it's not correct because these things are not exactly correct. So this is basically my idea. Either we take the existing data and we have to criticize it in a number of places, or we make more simplified but more top-down level approach. Either way, I think is workable. I'm not sure whatever will be more time effective and more quick and whatever is more relevant for our purposes. That's my thoughts. Thanks.
Thank you, Michael. Okay. I think I have somewhere a kind of table which says in Australia so many languages are using Latin script according to this and this source. And we can say after that it is just someone who speaks better English than me would make it in a better way. I mean, make a better package of this data. Okay. Could we proceed like this? Okay, no objection. Shall we move forward? Did we finish the previous? Yeah, in the panel, the diversity, we had Michael had some proposals and discussion, and I think we should read it before we shall proceed to the next point. Please, a little bit back. A little bit more back because this area is has a yellow.
Could you tell me which page you would want to move to?
Sorry, excuse me. This one was Michael discussed the composition of the Michael discussed the composition of the panel a little bit more. I mean, panel diversity. Yes, that's it. This yellow part. I don't think that we can solve in this moment this very old note from Asmus. That we could somehow find experts outside the panel to help us because I don't know how to do it. We shall discuss it during our face-to-face meeting. After that, the maker had a proposal. CSIBM, AIBM, for reaching out external, but you may not be familiar. This proposal with CSAIBN looks fine for me, but I don't know how to reach those people. Are they willing to volunteer in one, let's say, less formal group?
Sorry, it's another.
Yes. Michael, you want to say something?
Yes.
Or someone else?
Yes. Excuse me.
Michael,
TSARDN is Task Force on Arabic Script Internationalized Domain Names. It's a group of people with an ICANN who are working on Arabic script. I'm a member of it. Sarmat used to be a member of it. Hazem is a member of it. So we had discussions within that group on documenting, on creating simple documentation of how to reach out to external experts. So I'm saying that if we follow the advice given by Asmus here, then there is something we can work on. Something we can reuse for the Latin GP purposes, maybe.
Sorry, I didn't understand correctly. Is there a document which explains how to do these things?
A draft for it.
Okay, the draft will be very helpful for us. I think so. If you have, please share it with us, send it to the mailing list.
Right. This is Sarmad. So I think at this stage, it's probably just useful to define your methodology. And so as a panel, you could say that you would use, certain sources or resources or experts as you do the work. And close the proposal. It may, going into that level of detail could be done after I guess the proposal is finished and we get into the real tasks.
Work. Yes, I agree completely with you, but someone has to keep in mind that we might find some solutions for our problems in the other place. But you and Maykal are here. I mean, Sarmad and Maykal are here from this list, so it won't be forgotten. So I can just resolve this or move this comment from the proposal, and we shall try to finish the proposal as soon as it is possible, because it will be very good to submit the proposal for the first comment before ICANN 58. I will be very happy if we could do it, because probably, I'm sure, our integration panel will have some comments which should be considered later. So at least one or two iterations between GP and IP will follow before we start the real work according to our plan. Something happened on my screen. There is nothing on it now. Sarmad? Oh, that's it. That. So, this is something we should keep in mind, and we should go further on. Michael said something about the how panel was constructing at this moment, because this panel has a long history, but it was very difficult to have some kind of I have a lack of the word in English. It doesn't matter. So what the other people of the panel think, the other people on the panel think, is this paragraph, which is marked yellow, appropriate to be here, or shall we remove it from here and put it somewhere else? That's my question. We because this paragraph is explaining why some of the people are called members and the other are called observers.
So this is Sarmad. Could I comment?
Please, Sarmad, please. Help us.
Okay, so I think what I would say is that it's really up to the generation panel to see how they want to structure themselves. And we've seen that there are some members in the list who we reached out to. So that was done by me and Mariana, who actually come back and said that they cannot attend the calls for some reasons, but they would still like to remain on the list, and they would like to see what's going on, and at some point they may also want to reflect on it and respond on it. But they don't want to, so they're not really active members, but they're not really, they don't want to leave the generation panel as well. In the other generation panels, the other generation panels have not made a distinction between an observer and a member. So there's always some people who are more active and there's some people who are more dormant, but everybody is a member in any case for some GPs. It's up to Latin to see whether they want to call them with different titles or they just want to call everybody a member. It's really up to the generation panel.
My proposal is to leave it like this at this moment because we are on the top of the hour. It is 15:01 yet. And if there is some other reaction from the panel, we can change it later because it is not the crucial thing for our proposal. Is there anything else till the end? Please, Sarmad, move it a little forward. Because we have to at least one topic to conclude. There is no other comments after that.
There are no more comments.
There are no more comments. So some of panel members have promised to do something later and my deal, I think, wants to change something in the proposal. Everybody should read the proposal again, and I politely ask everyone to let's try to finish this proposal till the end of the next week, that we can submit the proposal, I mean, clean it, reformat it to look a little bit better, and send it to the integration panel for the first round of comments, because that's the first version of the proposal which has all the topics that should be covered by one proposal. Please do your best let's try to finish the proposal till the end of the next week. And we have only one topic now. I also ask everyone to look at the presentation which I uploaded now to our Google Docs and to suggest any changes or any issues which could be discussed during our face-to-face meeting. And also the last thing is, Sarmad, please, what shall we do with our next call? Because it falls on the Thursday before the Friday when everybody is traveling. Maybe you are traveling before that to Copenhagen. So my proposal is to postpone this meeting after the ICANN. I mean, it means in 3-4 weeks.
That would be better. I would be traveling in 2 weeks on the Thursday, so I won't be able to host the call.
Yes, I think so. And yes, there is no one to host the call, and everybody will prepare to go. Everyone who is going to Copenhagen will prepare some other things for the Copenhagen meeting. So please, I think it is the good solution to have the next call in 4 weeks, and maybe God help us. If God help us, we shall have some comments from the integration panel for discussion for the next hour call. So thank you everyone for being on that call. We are growing as a group. We are working better as a group, and I'm sure we shall have a good result at the end. Thank you everyone. Bye. And see you in 4 weeks. Oh no, hear you in 4 weeks, or see you in two and a half weeks, and I can meet you in coffee time. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye.